chairperson for this year, and I will be chairing these meetings this afternoon. And I have asked Sabrina and Casey to come and read the 12 steps and the 12 traditions.
1. We admitted we were powerless. Oh, wait a minute. Hi, I'm Sabrina. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we may understand him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Hi, I'm Casey.
Hi.
Our group experience suggests that the unity of the Alateen groups depends upon our adherence to these traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. The teenage relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves an Alateen group, provided that, as a group, they have no other affiliation. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other Alateen and Al-Anon family groups, or AA as a whole. 5. Each Alateen group has but one purpose, to help other Alateens of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves and by encouraging and understanding the members of our immediate families. 6. Alateens, being part of the Al-Anon family groups, ought never to endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. 7. Every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alateen 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. Our groups, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. The Alateen groups have no opinion on outside issues. Hence, our name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. We need guard with special care the anonymity of all AA members. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities.
At this time, I ask all who would like to join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And now Alexis and Ryan will come up and read the Alateen moments.
Hi, I'm Ryan from Pittsburgh. I can listen to and accept the good things people say about me, but I don't have to go looking for them to make myself feel better. I know I'm living the program as well as I can, one day at a time. That's the best reason I can think of for feeling good about myself. I had a real problem with this, like, early on in my program. I used to always want to be accepted by people, and I always wanted people to say good things about me, and I really would. I'd basically go around looking for people to say good things about me, and I'd do things to get people to say things about me. And the program has helped me to realize that I don't have to do that, but I can accept it, and that's basically all I have to say.
Hi, I'm Alexis. These passages are taken from the Alateen One Day at a Time book, and mine is, "What's down the road for me? I'm not sure, but now I know I don't have to be afraid to face it. Today is the day that counts, and thanks to the program, I have a great way to make the most of it." This was a really good one for me. I'm glad that it was given to me, because this point in my life right now, I'm in college. I'm half done with college so far. And there's a lot of things that go on in my life that are scary and confusing. I don't know what's going to go on. Sometimes I really don't know what's down the road for me, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the day after that. And that's where the program comes into my life. And One Day at a Time, that's my very favorite slogan, and it's something that I like to say to myself every day, that I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't have to worry about what I'm going to be doing in 5 years, because all I need to worry about is today. But then there's another side to that where sometimes that causes problems in my life, just living for today and not taking into consideration what's going to happen tomorrow and what my responsibilities are for the future. And that's where the program comes into my life, that it helps me to create a balance between living one day at a time and living for the moment. It helps me to be able to take this day and make the most of it and have a positive attitude and be optimistic and be enthusiastic and excited about what's going to happen tomorrow, but also to keep a focus on where my life is going and what I need to be doing. And today, with the help of my higher power, I know that no matter what I'm doing, no matter how I'm feeling, that I know that I'm doing what's right for me and I'm doing what I need to be doing. Thanks.
And now I'd like to introduce our speaker for this afternoon. She's a very special person and a very wonderful friend. Her name is Sarah.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sarah. Spelled S-A-R-A-H at the end. As if it's not obvious, I've been really nervous about getting up and doing this. It's been extremely hard, long 2 months. I've had butterflies for 2 straight months. So my mom asked me yesterday if I was ready, if I'd prepared my stuff. And I told her, no, Mom, I said, I've done real good this week. I've kept from being nervous. Every time I get nervous, I pick up one of my mystery novels and I just start reading. She goes, well, you should tell them that. I'm sure it'll sound good towards your program. So, yeah, this shows me where my program's gone today. I want to thank you all for inviting me, even though it's hard. If there's one thing that I don't get across today, the only thing, I guess, that's really important is that I let everybody know how important each and every one of you all are to me. There's been times when my Alateen group hasn't been there, and it's only been the Al-Anons and the AA members, and they're all very important to me and to my program, and I couldn't live my program without you all. Well, when I was about 9 years old, I found my program before I knew what the program was. See, I already had the first step figured out. I knew when my crazy stepdad drank, I had no control over it. And I knew that our family was definitely weird and we definitely had problems. I knew there was something wrong. I knew this. I was 9 years old. I had this first part pretty much down. Growing up, I don't know, I spent a lot of my time, whenever I was in the house, everything was scary. I didn't know what was going to be next or what to say or what to do without, you know, everything was always on edge. But I did have one thing going for me. I'm a real outgoing person, and I love to meet people, and I'm just naturally happy. So whenever I was outside or with my friends or wherever it was I happened to be, I was wonderful, happy person. And everybody I hear give their leads talk about the fake smile that goes on. And that's part of it, too. You go out and you say, everybody, you just smile and you say, yes, everything's great, everything is wonderful. And you know when you get home, it's really not. It's not at all. Part of the way that I dealt with things that went around me and just part of my natural instincts was to help people. I like to help people and be with people. And this was a lot of my problem. This was my biggest thing, main thing that I've focused on in my program is that I want to help everybody and every little problem I want to come to me. I want to be able to solve every little problem. So I explained it in this last meeting. I've been in Natural Helpers through school, and we've worked on different things by showing it, by showing examples. So if you can just imagine, here's me, and if you have a cup for every problem that I wanted to endure, you just keep handing me cup and cup and cup, and it gets to the point where you can't hold any more cups, no matter what you do. You can put them on your head, you can put them between your knees, you can hold them with your toes, but eventually you're going to drop them all, and it's going to hurt, and you're going to fall too. And that's what I figured out. It took a long time to figure that out. It took a long time to admit that that's why I would get to a certain point and then just completely break. I would be able to be so strong, and I tried my hardest, and I could help everybody, but then after a while, it would just build up. And then the littlest thing, I didn't get what I wanted for dinner, there it went. All my problems just dropped. One little teeny problem, just the ounce of that problem. Another thing when I was growing up, my mom was in school, and so she wasn't around a lot, but she was wonderful. So a lot of people talk about how they, I don't know, lost a childhood or whatever. I can't honestly remember playing. I don't remember playing any games besides house. Playing house, cleaning up after my sisters. That's all I remember how to do. That was, like, I guess the biggest thing for me was playing kid mom. I always, like, carried my sisters around and did everything and took care of the house, and I thought this was my job. I really did, and it still is to an extent. I lived probably a good 8 years of my life completely scared and never knowing what was going to happen. I never talked to anybody about it. I didn't see any need to, because I knew it was wrong. I knew I was scared. I didn't have anything else to say about it except, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. I don't want to bring you to my house, and you don't want to know why. Completely hard. I didn't know who to go to or what to talk about. And just, I guess my memories are just always running. I always had a way of just, I'd always call my grandma. That's what it was. It was just call my grandma to come get me. And that was kind of like my escape for the time being. Just call my grandma and then I could leave. Probably when I was 11 years old, I came to my first meeting, which just happened to be an AA meeting, and I went with my stepdad. So this meeting lasted about 10 minutes because every time he would get up to say something, and if he lied, I corrected him and everybody heard it. So that didn't last long at all. He didn't like that, and I got taken home pretty quick. My mom's home group, there was a babysitter, and I would always go, and I always liked to sit in the back and collar and listen to the adults, because I usually thought they were pretty funny, but other than that, I would just sit and listen in. And they tried the pre-Alateen thing for a while, and I thought it was really good. It was really something for me to look forward to. In the beginning, the only reason I think I looked forward to it, or the biggest part of it, was I looked forward to being able to leave the house and talk about this crazy maniac that I lived with and not get in trouble for saying anything bad either. When I very first came to Alateen, even though I was outgoing and I wanted to meet everybody and have everybody as friends, if I'd show you a list, there was 50 phone numbers for my Alateen group. And there always is at least 20 of them out there, and it was so scary. They were all real, real big, and I was real, real small. And I didn't want to go in and sit. So my first meetings, I usually just sat, no matter what, because I'm real talkative. And once you get me going, you just wish you hadn't have, because I will go and go and go on and on and on, and then you will not get your turn. During the first part of my program, I think I usually use my little ODAP book. And this has always been my way of escaping. I always pick up a book and go to a different place. That's just, I don't know, I have a really wild imagination. I can just imagine myself wherever I want, and I'll stay there. So whenever I have a problem, I just kind of disappear. I just kind of slip into another time zone. But it's good, because I can still deal with my problems that way. I still do pretty well. With the steps, when I started out in the program, I couldn't figure out the steps. They're like people talking about, you know, it's been 5 years, I'm on step 7, and I just could not figure this out. There's 12 simple steps, people, right? Wrong. Wrong again. So I thought I had everything figured out. I thought, well, why can't I work them all at once? You know, I'll take them one at a time for a week, and then I'll have them all. That didn't work either. I tried and I tried. So I figured my slogans are my best bet. The slogans in the Serenity Prayer are usually, I guess, my base, my foundation. And anytime I'd get mad when my stepdad lived with us, I would just sit here and scream these slogans, and I would scream back and forth, let go and let God, let go and let God. Live and let live. Every time I got in trouble, I'd tell him, live and let live, leave me alone. And so the more I got to know the people in my group, the more they talked about sponsorship. And I heard someone here last year say something that's probably pretty true, that sponsorship is the most talked about in the program and the least used. And that's true. At first I thought, well, you know, I usually write out all my problems and I'm real good at problem solving. So I thought, I'm fine. I don't know how to do a sponsor. I don't want to go and ask anybody. So I guess I was kind of self-sponsored, and I really, really don't recommend that. That's not a good choice. Not at all. You get really confused. But now I have a sponsor, so that's, I don't know. I guess that's kind of good. It's not an official sponsorship. It's kind of like whenever I have a problem, he's just the one person I call, period, and it's just always the first. Before I could speak up in my program, they had a little thing, and I think my mom even got it here, maybe the God can, if anybody know what I'm talking about. When you can't, God can. So that was always helpful. Write down all your little problems and put it in the can. And that's where I first started realizing to turn things over to God. And every time I did, I felt so much better. Here's this big, big, wonderful person in the sky, and he can do whatever he wants. So I thought I was on a pretty good track with that. 2 years ago, I came to Mission Farms, which is another conference, and we sat around the bonfire like we do here, and everybody talks about, I guess, their story in a way. And there was one man who just, I sat and listened to him talk for an hour. He went on, and I just knew, I was like, this is what I want to be. I want to be just like that. That's how I want to come. He had everything. He was so in touch with God. That was his thing. Being able to communicate with God and just all he talked about. And it just made me realize, you know, all this time I thought I had done pretty good with communicating with God. And then I see all this stuff this man has, just the way he works everything. And that was the night I guess I could label my spiritual awakening. After everybody left the bonfire, I stayed out there for 2 hours and prayed. And I think that was when my little blooming, my growth, which is important, very, very important. One of the things I guess I had the hardest time dealing with in the program was, we always talked about the resentment and learning how to let go and how to vent your anger. My stepfather, it got to the point where I had forgiven him so many times, over and over and over, and every time I was just hurt worse and worse, and ignored and told that I was hated and told all sorts of horrible stuff. And after being held hostage and almost witnessing my sister's death, I just decided that I just can't do this anymore. I can't forgive him anymore. And it's that way this day. That's something that now that's my biggest focus, is trying to work on letting go of this resentment and trying not to think about it anymore. But and what made it even worse was I didn't know that he was my stepdad for a long, long time. And when I found out, that made me even madder. And then Mom was in this resentment thing too. I let go of that one, finally. I don't know, there's just so much. When you get up here and explain your program to everybody else, talking about how wonderful it is, and everybody gets up and talks about everything they've done and everything they've worked, and I could just go on for hours, and every little detail and every way this program has helped me. When I very first came, I just thought this was the most wonderful thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I was so, so grateful for this alcoholic. The only one time in my life was I so grateful for him that I got to be in this program. And I still think this. If the world had a program like this, the world would be so, so much better, like putting a big Band-Aid on the world. I think the big shock factor for me was when I came to the meeting. I mean, I knew that there was just that group. But then I came here my very first year, which was 4 years ago. And I just thought, wow. And I couldn't talk, and I just didn't know what to think anymore. It was just like, wow, there are all these people, and they're all smiling, and they all love me, and they're all giving me hugs, and they all live the same way I do. We all have the same common bond. It just made me feel so, so much better. And it was just overwhelming. And when people ask me, I try to explain this to them, and it's just without words. There are no words for it. This is like a big wow for me. I'm very grateful, Alatine, if I didn't mention that. Very, very, very grateful. It's one thing I can say, that there's been points in my life that I was not. There was probably a year in my life that I did not care if I was here or not. I did, because I didn't want to disappoint people. I've always had this people-pleasing side about me. I just go and do for everybody, like a little butterfly. Here I go, here I go. Do this for you, do this for you. I hope you like me. Please smile and say you like me. And it just crushed me. I have one person that didn't like me, and I would just be crushed. And even then, when we changed schools, my very first biggest problem with people was I came home from school the very first day crying to my mom because I couldn't decide who to play with, because they all wanted to play with me. And my mom tells that one all the time and embarrasses me in front of everybody. Thank you. I actually cried over who was going to be my friends. But now I still do. I still cry every time when I leave here. And any time when I think about you all. Last year, I was on the journalism staff in school, and I think this was kind of like my reaching out part, besides my lead that I've gotten to do twice before. I wrote an article on, well, I really wouldn't say alcoholism, probably just Al-Anon, Alateen, and AA. And I wrote a full-page article, and I just put my name at the bottom. And in my school, I got over 5 telephone calls just within my little school. And it was just enough to make me, wow, I've helped somebody. I've shown them something that they didn't know was there. And that was real important to me, that I was being, that I could be able to do that. And that's thanks to you all. I don't know where else to go from here. I'm not really sure what to tell you next. Except for my life has just become so much easier. I can get up every day and smile. And I always wake up and I smile. I'm not always the best person to be around when I wake up, sometimes. But needless to say, in my mind, whether you think so or not, I'm smiling. I'm happy to be alive. Whether I act like that or not, I am. I really am. I'm happy to be here. And just that smile. I can smile at everybody, and people smile at me. It brightens my day just the way that everybody here does. Today I can say I can live my day. My day is one day at a time, which is real important to me because, like I talked about, the whole stacking up deal, stacking all these cups on little Sarah and watching it all fall down. I can now say I can turn my stuff over to God, my little things, just the littlest things, and I can live my day without building everything up on me, and I know when to say no. I can tell people now, no, I can't help you this time. And if you ask my mom, there was a time when I tried to bring home every crying soul in the neighborhood to Sarah's house. I really did. Open a hospital. I really tried to. Through my program today, I can really, really say I like myself a whole lot better than I did when I first started out. It's never that I didn't like myself. It's that I didn't like what I was around and what And I was always so angry, and I always would snap. And I didn't normally snap at my friends and the people around me. It was my family. I think it was probably my intermediate family that I hurt the most by snapping at them and my mom and everybody else. And it was just a constant buildup, and I didn't mean any of it. And today, I still snap, and I still scream at my little sisters because they're pests. But I can apologize to them now, and this is something new, too. I can say, I'm really sorry. You really irritated me this time, but I still love you, and I didn't mean to scream at you. And they just kind of laugh at me. Wow. I really don't know where to go. I guess I could just thank everybody and tell everybody how wonderful my life is now and how much I feel like I'm living every day to my fullest extent. And even the days that are rainy and I argue, and I can just say my serenity prayer and smile. I can write down all my little problems or read my literature book, and I'm happy. I can say I'm happy with everything now. I guess I'll just thank you all, and I hope that, like I said in the beginning, everybody means so, so much to me. This is, like, you all are the biggest part of my program, and if I was left alone to work this program by myself, yeah, I might be able to sort out my crazy mind, but it wouldn't be the same, because all of your all's hugs and everything else is what's really pulled me through. Like, before I got up here, I don't know if any of you noticed, I'm trying to con people and nail my feet to the floor so I don't fly away with butterflies. And I've got all my friends over here hugging me and telling me, Sarah, you're going to do fine. Everybody's still going to love you. You can get up there and say two words and they're all still going to love you. Which I guess is true, since everybody out here seems to be smiling, I think. So I suppose I did good. I did all right. I guess just thank you all.